Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue this Advent series that we started on Sunday, even despite the bad weather, come Lord Jesus. Those of you who are able to be here on Sunday know that the series is based on the parable of the sower. So hear this portion that reads from Matthew chapter 13. The second set of seed. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they didn't have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. And then continuing later, as Jesus then explains the parable, he says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, dear friends, so we consider tonight in sermon number 2, how to pray, come Lord Jesus, to him who comes to lead us in daily life. Oh man, how many days are until Christmas? I don't see how I'm going to be ready. Can't you do more to help me? Do I have to do all of the shopping by myself? No, I can't make it to church. I have to get this project done for work. Plus, then I have to get to the store. You know, they're open on Sunday morning now. And so if I can get there early, I can beat the crowds. What? Join you for devotions this morning? Are you kidding? I don't have time for that. How can you take time for that when we have so much to do around this house? Am I being too cynical to suggest that people would ever make comments like these? Perhaps. But there are many cares and things that upset us, and they can sometimes be worse during the so-called happiest season of all. On top of the usual pressures like stress at work, monthly bills, struggles in relationships, there are now all the added pressures of extra events, presents to buy, gatherings to plan. Who would have thought that all of these activities, based on the holiday season that should be focused on and centered around Christ, could be so stressful? Such a chore, even. That was certainly true for Martha. Jesus was actually there, in person, right in her own house. Wouldn't you think that should have been a pretty joyous time for her? To have the Lord Himself under your own roof? But in our text, and another one that we know quite well, Martha is concerned about getting things ready for Jesus. She was obviously stressed out. I mean, she was so concerned that everything would be just right. Nothing sort of overlooked or forgotten about. Because Jesus had come to be a guest in her home, and she was not meeting her own expectations for hosting him. So she cries out in frustration, and she's annoyed, first of all, with Jesus himself, the one she was supposed to be hosting, the guest who'd come to visit her. Don't you care, she says, that my sister has left me to serve alone? And then she demands of her Lord, tell her to help me. And it really sounds a little bit like, and kind of reminds me of, Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, after the fall into sin, and God comes and asks them, well, what is this that you have done? Well, the woman you put here with me, God. And no, God, that serpent you made. But what was Mary doing? She was in her home listening to the words of Jesus. Martha simply wasn't able to do that. At least not right away. Her heart was sealed up with cares and worries that made her resistant to the Word of God. In Sunday morning's sermon, in sermon number one, we looked at this story that Jesus told, the parable of the sower. And it reveals strong obstacles to our hearing the Word of God, to receiving that one thing that's needed. On Sunday, we called these obstacles the unholy trinity, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. On Sunday morning, we were reminded that Satan is constantly working to snatch away the Word of God like a bird that gobbles up the seed that falls on the path and can't break into the soil. That was the first set of soil and the first kinds of people in the parable. Tonight we're facing a different planting problem in the parable. A sower went out to sow, Jesus said, and some of that seed fell on the rocky ground, which is not like the path where it just sort of sits there on the top, wide open. No, the seed that falls on the rocky soil at least can get in and fall down. And it's got at least something to grow in. But the problem is that that soil's not very good. And so those plants spring up really fast. There's not much to them. Really thin and spindly and not very healthy. Because they didn't have very good, rich soil in which to develop good, strong, healthy roots. So what happens with a plant like that when the sun comes out and it gets hot? They just burn right up, don't they? They scorch and they wither away because they had no root. Rocky ground with shallow soil. Jesus says that this is what happens when the Word of God fails to penetrate into our hearts. It doesn't develop deep roots that can sustain us under the scorching heat of pressure and persecution. And if this can happen with one of Jesus' very close personal friends like Martha, a woman who dearly loved Jesus and wanted to do her very best for Him, then it can be a challenge for any of us on any given day. In replying to Martha's outburst, Jesus gives her something that she really needs. He lovingly speaks a word of law. He gently rebukes her and redirects her attention to what He calls the one thing needed. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. In other words, Martha, stop it. Okay? Will you? Just be quiet. Listen. And yet into these words of law, He also weaves words of gospel hope. Because he talks, again, about the one thing needed and the better part. We can observe from another encounter with Jesus that he was giving her hope in himself through his words. After all, the one thing needed is his dying and rising to save sinners. The better part is the hope of eternal life that he came to bring. A hope that far outweighs the worries and the stresses of this world. Martha doesn't know it at this moment, but she'll be facing some scorching stress and pressing persecution in the days that lie ahead. Her brother, Lazarus, he's going to die. Her dear friend, Jesus, the one sitting here in her home, the one she's serving, is going to be crucified. There's no doubt that because of encounters like this, that God's word broke up the hard ground, the rocky soil of her heart, and put down deep gospel roots. We do know that when Lazarus died, she confessed faith in the one thing needed, the resurrection of her Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, with a much smaller degree of anxiety, and yet in a much worse situation, she confidently confessed, "I know that Lazarus will rise again on the last day." And when Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life," and then very directly asked her, "Do you believe this?" She said, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. You are the one we had hoped would come into the world." After that, the basis for this hope would soon be realized as God's plan of salvation took its final shape. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, his opponents came to their house in Bethany looking for Jesus so that they might crucify him. Later on, they would be successful. However, it was revealed as Jesus rose from the dead, that this was all God's plan to provide the one thing needed to save sinners. Which today leads us to desire the better part as well. And it is a far better part than the expressions of holiday stress that I shared earlier. It involves a word of repentance and faith to focus on the one thing needed. As I also shared on Sunday morning, one function of these Advent sermons this year is to encourage the practice of daily household devotions. Just as Jesus came to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, so also we desire that he would come to be present with us as well. That's why we would pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." And he does so by his word. That's why we're encouraging one another with this practice of daily devotions. The first priority is simply to invest time daily in devotion to the word of God, moving from Martha's busy activity to Mary's focused listening. Whatever will help you to develop a habit or a routine to do that, do it. A second goal for our daily devotions is to let the word of God address us, just as Jesus did Martha, calling for repentance and faith in that one thing needed. And in service to that goal, I'll share a way that is simple yet reliable for carrying out a devotion. And also, again, as I said on Saturday, other approaches are good too. There isn't any one right way to do this. This is only one way to do this. And it's the plan for morning and evening prayer found right in Luther's small catechism. This plan provides a word of law in the Ten Commandments as we read and recite God's will for our lives. And besides giving God's guidance, this also breaks up our hearts in repentance as we recognize our sin. But the Catechism then presents to us the Apostles' Creed as a summary of the saving gospel of who Jesus is and what He has done for us and for our salvation. These words of the Creed plant in our hearts that one thing needed for life and salvation. And then the final part is the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us to talk with God in ways that strengthen us to face the daily realities of life. These include the stresses of the holidays, and much worse, as was true for Martha. Sunday morning, I asked you to envision a scenario where the members of a family, whether it be a single person, a married couple, or a family of three or more, would sit down for a short 15-minute daily devotion. You can kind of picture it as something like Mary just sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to Him. And now I'd like to add to that vision someone, one member of that family, who has something distressing going on in his life. A character like Martha. But because that daily devotion has now become for this family or that individual a holy habit, this person, even with whatever is going on, still encounters Jesus and His Word. And that Word redirects him to the one thing needed to find hope in the promises of Jesus, as confessed by Martha at Lazarus' grave. What could have been a bad day? What could have led to being scorched by despair? Now, thanks to Jesus and His Word, handles the heat. There are roots laid down by that Word of God, so that even the hottest of stresses cannot cause this life to wither, but rather to flourish. Therefore, we continue to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," daily, and deliver to us that one thing needed. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.